And he was just standing in his pants, and I just thought, I thought it'd be quite funny to just maybe just have a testicle hanging out. And Star Trek, Simon Pegg.
This is what I was going to get into later, so I'm really glad you said Simon Pegg, because Edgar Wright was the first director I thought of when I saw a lot of your work.
If you haven't watched this film, go and watch that short film, because it's ridiculous. But you know the scene with Dean Lewis?
What's that?
What does this mean?
Does it have to mean anything?
This is just the beginning.
Well, I think the next question is, what happens next, Lewis? Okay. Who's Neil?
Is that question three?
Don't be mean to them, because we love everyone that we've had on. But this is by far the most brilliant thing that has ever come to this podcast.
You name it with Denver and Ricky.
So yeah, so you've obviously clicked in to listen to this podcast. I just want to say that me and Denver really enjoyed this podcast. It was a brilliant episode, and it's so inspirational from the story that he tells and everything that he does with his life. He's so creative.
We just had a good laugh, didn't we?
Just honestly, just a good laugh. And he was just generally just a very nice guy with a very interesting career. And I think, you know, when you meet those people who are just destined for greatness, like, he was just one of them, wasn't he? And it sounds really weird. And like I met him when I worked at Cineworld, and like, you just listen to what he's doing and how he got there. It's just an incredible story. But
we will leave you to listen and enjoy it yourself. And we hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
So hello and welcome back to the You Name It podcast with me and Denver. How have you been this week, Denver? It's been a long one, hasn't it? It's been a while.
You sounded like you nearly forgot your name there, Ricky.
Honestly, I was like, who am I? What am I doing? Where am I? But but yeah, how have you been, mate? What have you been up to this week?
Oh, mate, I'm good, you know. See, I took, if you remember Georgina's episode, she recommended the two things to watch. And me being me loving shit TV, I went straight for that option and started watching Are You The One? And oh, my really? Word, she was not wrong. It's TV, but it's just unbelievable. I don't know why, but I can't stop watching it. It is literally Love Island if all you want to watch is arguments. It is just unbelievable. People punching windows and smashing them to bits. People, like, literally threatening to kill one another. Because it's in America as well. So you've got, like, Brooklyn lads mixing with... Oh, mate, honestly, it blew my mind. So, Georgina, if you're listening to this, thank you, because you've changed my life for it.
She's changed your life. That's a bit, mate, you know.
We're in a pandemic. It doesn't take much to kind of excite me at the moment. And yeah, oh, that's it for me.
You need to get onto Blown Away. I think that should be your next thing.
Can we talk about you as well, Ricky? You've got this week, you've got yourself a little headband looking very like Jack Grealish-esque.
Mate, he's my idol. I love Jack Grealish. He's my absolute hero. He's a brilliant footballer. Probably going to be in the England squad. And he went to school with me, so he probably knows
who
I am.
There you go. So it's just use him as your inspiration.
He's my inspiration. And if you're listening, Jack, let's have a drink sometime. Jack Grealish, if you're listening, get yourself on the pod. I'd love to invite your film, mate. But I think it is time to introduce our guest for this week. And I'll tell you what.
Is it not Jack Grealish?
It's not Jack Grealish. It's someone better than Jack Grealish. And it's James Madison. Joke. But we have an absolute wonderful guest who is probably one of the best popcorn makers I've ever come across in my life. He's a director, a videographer. I can't speak today. And a filmmaker. We have the wonderful Lewis Clements. How are you today, Lewis Clements?
I am feeling fantastic, Ricky. Absolute pleasure to be here.
I'm sure you feel absolutely privileged to be here, some would say. And Lewis, it's been a while since we've actually seen each other. I think the last time I saw you was working at the cinema. And it's quite fitting now we are doing a podcast about films. Isn't that very
fitting?
it's almost like how the world was meant to be. But Lewis, if you didn't know how this podcast works, we always start with a little section that we like to call Get to Know You. I'm going to try and get a jingle for that. Do you reckon, Denver? Do you reckon we can do
Do you know what? Yeah, you've been smashing the jingles out, but you can't cheat and do it on Fiverr.
Yeah, okay. I'll get an actual jingle. So like, we'll go for, well, what I'll do is record this sound clip like Get to Know You.
Maybe we could sing one. Yeah, maybe we can create one.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Work on that.
We've heard you sing, so maybe not. Get to Know You.
Well, the first one, anyone who is familiar with your work, Lewis, will know straight away that it's grotesque, to say the least. And watching it, all the different things that, as a director, you've made your poor actors suffer and do. I want to know, what is the most ridiculous thing you've ever had to ask an actor to do?
Jesus, there's a few of those instances, that's for sure. I think the first ever one was, it was during a scene where an old man was being evicted. and he was just standing in his pants. And I just thought, it'd be quite funny to just maybe just have a testicle hanging out. So yeah, we had this close up on him scratching his nuts in this like real like white pair of briefs, like I'm talking like old school, you know. I was even considering some yellow stains on there. I was going down that route. but I did it anyway. They were nice and clean, and personal. And I just said, it'd be funny if there was just like a nut hanging out, and then he sort of giggled and like kind of pulled it to the side a little bit, and I went, Do you want to just put one out for me? And he just did it. He was really open with it. And then obviously I looked over at my cinematographer and I was kind of just like, are we recording this? Because
I was going to say, wait a minute, the camera's about. This was the weird thing.
I was like, needless to say, I got in immediately and checked the footage and I was like, fantastic. Because he had this very, very kind of wiry pubic hair as well, which kind of added for me.
And, made it for you.
It was white and he was, you know, 60
when you
plus.
Get these actors on board, are they aware of the things you may ask them about and ask them to do?
Definitely not. No. Definitely not. Another instance was there was a scene with a husband comes home and discovers that his wife's been sort of mutilated and stuff by a killer. And the killer is using her as a footstool and she's completely naked. So that actor wasn't completely comfortable with putting his feet up on her back. So I was like, just do it. It's fine. Just do it.
So it wasn't the complaint was from the naked lady that's on all fours being a table. It's the man going, well, I'm not comfortable putting my feet up here.
No, actually, funny enough, she said beforehand, yeah, I'm up for anything. So I was like, okay, fantastic. It was the other chap that was, in the end, he kind of had to just levitate his feet over her because he just wasn't comfortable with it.
What? I'll tell you what, this podcast is only going to go one way and that is ridiculous. And I'm so excited. And Lewis, our next Get to Know You question is a ridiculous would you rather question. And knowing that we have you on the show, I've decided to go for one of the most grotesque ones I could find. So what I've got for you is, would you rather eat your dead friend or kill your dog and eat it when you are marooned on an island all by yourself?
Oh, no, I'd eat my dead friend. No, there's no companionship like a dog. I love dogs.
Wait. So you would eat your dead friend over a dog?
Well, is my dog alive?
No, so basically, let's make the situation bigger. You crash landed on an island, Lord of the Flies style, and right. The only things left is you and your dog, and the only way to survive is to eat the dog, or you have to eat your dead friend to not.
So is my dead friend? My dead friend.
So did he die as he crashed?
Yeah. So you're dead. So it's your dead friend.
Oh, what? But my dog's kind of just looking at me like all like placid, like, hey, we're on an island.
Yeah. So yeah, your dog's like, oh yeah, you're there, but like. You can either eat like one of the classmates who was there who died.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd eat one of the classmates.
Yeah,
they have no. Yeah, they serve no purpose now. They'd probably want me to eat them.
Oh no, I don't think I could eat human at all. No,
but you could kill. So everyone around you's just died, and the one living species left with you is your own dog, and you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
I
tell you what, I'm going to get cancelled for that because people are going to be like, you're killing dogs. No, no, I'm not killing dogs. In that situation, I would think... Nothing happened there. There was no crash in the recording at all, whatever there was there, Denver.
Just laughter happened. Is always the best. So just from all the grotesque questions to the, well, it's not as grotesque, this one, but we need to know because it is by far the most important. Lewis, we need to know, what is your favourite supermarket?
My favourite supermarket?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. A very good question, because I actually spoke about this with my partner last week, and we both agreed it's Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's?
Sainsbury's, yeah.
Is that the first time they've said that, Ricky? I think it's the first person to come in with Sainsbury's.
That is the first Sainsbury's, and I think we need to know why. Mm. Why Sainsbury's?
Okay, here we go. So, my partner's a vegetarian. I recently decided to go veggie as my sort of New Year's resolution. So I've been veggie since, well, this year.
Until and you have Sainsbury's, to eat your mate.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
No one's getting eaten then.
Yeah.
And Sainsbury's happen to have the biggest and widest veggie selection. That is why they get number one for me, yeah. So, like, Asda's pretty poor. So, Tesco, pretty poor again. Morrison's abysmal.
Yeah. M&S. Have you seen M&S?
M&S, no, very good, but a little bit pricey.
Yeah, it's expensive, mate.
It's expensive, but it's good quality.
It is. Yeah, you pay for what you get, don't you?
You are buying with quality. Do you know what's really funny? Because you're going vegetarian. David, who was on this podcast, he is a vegetarian, and he said Morrison's was the best one.
So he bigged up the salad bar, didn't he?
Yeah, he bigged up the salad bar. But I just find that quite ironic that he was like, Morrison's is the best. And I was like, oh, well, we know.
I don't know about you, Ricky, but I'm back in Leeds now, and I've been going in different supermarkets. And because we ask this question every time, I really think about it, and I went to Sainsbury's, and honestly, I went and I walked around. I went, do you know what? It's good vibes around here. So it's I know what you mean. Good quality. It's one of those where it's good quality food, but it's not too expensive, and the music's not too loud. The staff are really happy. I'm quite a fan of Sainsbury's. So I agree with that answer.
Yeah, all those factors. Yeah, they all come together.
I mean, we're literally missing out on the meat of this podcast. I've got the metaphor. I know we've got a vegetarian here today, so I'll change it to the corn of our podcast today. So obviously, we're here to talk about if we were making a film of your life, what would happen in that film? Like creating the biopic of Lewis. And I'm excited to see where this goes, knowing what you've done, and we will delve into that throughout this interview. And it's only fair that we start with the first question. So, Denver, take it away as we go into our film. I'm going to try and get more like
the jazz hands and everything. Well, I am excited by this because no pressure, but it's kind of your job to do this. So I'm looking forward to it. So obviously, each movie needs casting. So who would play you in this film and why?
Right. I mean, I had to have a little bit of a long think, but the answer was there pretty quickly. And it's an actor that I kind of relate to a lot. I love pretty much everything he's in. And that has to be Simon Pegg.
Oh, okay.
Big fan.
Who, in my opinion, is a national treasure as well.
he's a brilliant actor, to be fair to him. I love him in Hot Fuzz.
He's very much, you know, the Edgar Wright Simon Pegg. Not the Mission Impossible and Star Trek Simon Pegg.
This is what I was going to get into later, so I'm really glad you said Simon Pegg, because Edgar Wright was the first director I thought of when I saw a lot of your work.
The kind of zoomings
and things like that. I got an Edgar Wright vibe. So the second you said for Simon Pegg, I went, brilliant.
Just to go on from this, so why Simon Pegg? Why have you picked him for this role? Because what is it about Simon Pegg that would play Lewis brilliantly?
Well, I'm pretty ginger for a start. Yeah. I've got a big ginger beard, and all my hair, although my hair's quite dirty blonde, I'm always branded ginger, which I'm fine with. It's absolutely fine. But just sort of his mannerisms in in every film he's in, the, you know, the way he delivers his lines, and just, you know, that's probably down to Edgar Wright as well, helping him. But he writes a lot of them as well, doesn't he? So, you know, he knows just as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, he's that kind of humor is just me in a nutshell, to be honest with you. So,
And would your cast be similar to kind of the Edgar Wright typical cast of Nick Frost, Martin Freeman, that woman he did Spaced with? I can't think of her name.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes and no, I guess. Yeah. Yes and no. Well, I do like, you know, I mean, I like to say British actors because I haven't had a chance to work with, like, you know, American actors or anything like that. But yeah, it would be very much, you know, salt of the earth British actors who are quite quirky and have a bit of personality.
Well, even in your own work, there's a theme, as in we've noticed a lot of actors reappear in a lot of your short films, like they do in Edgar Wright's movies. Tell us a bit more about the importance of casting and why you choose to kind of sometimes recast the same person.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, when I kind of put out casting calls, I don't. Most of the time, I usually actually kind of look for who I like the look of, and you know, have a look at their show reels and get some self tape sent in, and then it's, you know, when I have such a good time working with them and I see how open they are and, you know, what they kind of bring, it's just like, it's really enjoyable, you know, going forward working with them again. So it's, you know, and I guess, you know, once I've kind of wrote one short and then we move on to the next one and wrote another way, it's kind of, I find it hard not to imagine these same people in the roles. You know, they played it so well. I just kind of think, well, why not? Why not put them in it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. That's really fascinating. Obviously, we've spoken about who Simon Pegg would play in the film. And obviously, you are a director yourself. Are you directing this film, or are we getting Edgar Wright? Or is there a specific director in mind that you would want on this biopic of your life?
I mean, Edgar can direct it with me if he wants, but we'll direct it together. otherwise, I'll be directing it. Simon Pegg will be playing me.
Simon Pegg will be playing you, and you'll be directing him. You know, that seems like a match made in heaven already. I would generally love to see this film get made, even though I've not even heard anything about it yet. I'm excited for the collaboration of Simon Pegg and Lewis, but. One question that I think is really interesting that we don't tend to talk about with OSS, you usually get glossed over. And I really want to talk about the genre of this film that you're going to create, because having watched the films that you have done, there is a very distinct style, a grotesqueness, a very Burkhoffian, you know, imagery that comes with your work. And I was wondering, would this play a part within your film that you are creating?
I mean, not particularly. I mean, you'll see, I mean, it's predominantly quite, you know, dark comedy and horror that I've kind of delved in, but I'm kind of always looking to push in different directions. And, you know, there's definitely a lot more different genres and stuff that I'd like to explore. So not necessarily, you know, not every film I kind of go in and think, right, we're going to be doing grotesque stuff here. And a lot of the grotesque stuff that you've seen in some of the previous shorts has kind of just been spur of the moment on set. Stuff that's just kind of felt right. I thought, you know, that'd be funny. That'd be humorous. Let's try it out. And it's kind of, that me as a director as well, is, you know, is that's how I prefer to kind of work. I don't really like to micromanage. And I kind of just let the actors bring something to the table.
I was going to say, there's one thing that really stood out to me in is it my father? I think my father. I thought it was my father. And it's the scene, you know, with the Barrington, and the Barrington is the most ridiculous character I've ever seen. Wait, anyway, with the dog. I'm saying this, if you haven't watched this film, go and watch that short film because it's ridiculous. But you know the scene with the pop noodle, and it's like, let's go get the bad boys. Yeah. And then they eat it in the most ridiculous fashion ever. And that's why when I watched that film, I immediately thought of Burkhoff and the star and the way he goes. And I was like, it's just fascinating. And honestly, if you are listening to this podcast and haven't watched Lewis's films, go and watch it, because we will link your website and your Instagram. It's for people to go and watch it. But that scene is just good.
Those pot noodles are actually, I tried to make it a little bit worse for them by those pot noodles were stone cold. So we'd actually get some good reaction from
that. Cooked and stone cold, or just with cold water?
I think they had, to be honest with you, we didn't have a kettle or anything in this bar that I managed to film. So there was a runner on set at the time. So I sent him to Subway to get some hot water, and he came back with just the smallest cup you've ever seen. So we just poured a little bit of hot water in both pot noodles, and the rest was topped up with cold. Yeah.
You've spoke, obviously, you said there about your actors kind of having a lot of their own input within it. But what's your inspiration behind kind of choosing this sort of style, this kind of dark comedy theme that you do within it?
To be honest with you, I think my father especially was, you know, very quite experimental. You know, I didn't kind of set out to make this, you know, moving film, or, you know, it's a story about a son who's trying to find his real father, who's, you know, looks about 40. So yeah. It's ridiculous in its own nature there. But like, I kind of just set out to make something that was totally ridiculous that I found hilarious. So that was kind of the idea behind it. And yeah, I mean, I'm not too much, you know, pulled towards, like, you know, making kind of festival bait films. And I think, you know, a lot of people do that, and you can kind of sniff that out immediately, whether someone's making a film for the right or, you know, for the wrong reasons. And to me anyway, if you don't feel a part of the film and you're not making it for yourself, then, you know, what's really the point?
Yeah. And within your movies, there is, within the ridiculousness of all of it, is it a load of randomness and we just enjoy it? Or is there actually a meaning behind each of the films? Because we noticed, even in like My Father, there's little details like the West family, and you mentioned Rosemary. So obviously there's a theme there, the West. Is that just a thing? Or is there a meaning behind the bizarre nature of the films?
I mean, I guess you could say there is a meaning, but, you know, I wouldn't look too far into it. I mean, you know, if I had to give you a kind of example of Damn Good Pie, I don't know if you watched that.
We're going to come on to that. maybe
I'll save that for later then. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into those meanings. We'll come to the deeper stuff later then.
I remember when you sent me Eviction when we were working at the cinema together, and you sent me that, and I watched it, and I was like, what is this? And then I watched it again, and I was like, who is this guy? Like, because I only worked with you for a few shifts at that point, and I was like, wait, what is this guy gonna do to me if this is what he makes? So carry on, what were you gonna say then?
I was just gonna say, so Eviction, that was pretty inspired from the popular TV series Can't Pay, We'll Take It Away.
I was
you know, watching that every morning, and then I actually got to the point where I was thinking, why am I watching this for? I'm just watching people lose their homes, and I was like, why am I finding enjoyment out of this? So I was like, hang on, let's put a story together, and let's flip it onto the debt collector this time, because I've seen the debt collector have too much fun in these episodes, so let's flip it on him. So that was the kind of the inspiration behind that.
Right, so we have spoke a lot about the genre of your movie, and obviously a lot of the films that you've done, but let's get it started. How does your film start?
Right, okay, so quick recap. So I'm with Simon Pegg, he's playing me, I'm directing it, maybe with Edgar Wright if he wants to turn up. We're looking at sort of an action comedy, again, taking inspiration from Edgar. And we're going to set it in, you know, late 90s, Birmingham, quite industrial, very, very Sex Lives of the Potato Men kind of vibes. So then we begin with Neil, who's going to be our main character, who is, of course, played by Simon Pegg. Neil is a scrap metal collector, one of many who roam the streets of Birmingham looking for the rare metal items, fridges, cookers, ovens, you name it. Neil's out there and he's searching. But Neil has some weight on his shoulders. Neil's father was a legendary scrap metal collector who they called the Metal Man. You know, I think I just called him Ricky then as well. Neil, sorry. Yeah. So Neil's father was a legendary scrap metal collector called the Metal Man, and Neil's, you know, having to live up to his father's reputation, which is, you know, no easy task.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
So, you know, he's got lots of competition. You know, he's got the Romanians. He's got the Nimmo twins, who are a pair of brothers who roam, you know, around in their truck. and essentially the story kind of follows, you know, Neil gets a tip off from a closer friend that there's a fridge or a cooker or, you know, some sort of object that someone stashed a big bag of money in it. Okay, so on the street somewhere, there's an oven or a fridge with a big rucksack full of money. But it's not long until the Romanians catch wind of it, and the Nimmo brothers, and whoever else, and then it became, and then it becomes a game of, you know, cat and mouse. who can find the big bag of money? So yeah, I've got this scene in my head of, you know, two scrap metal vans either end of like a narrow road, both revving their engines. You know, there's a fridge sitting on the side of the road, and maybe it's, you know, early morning. There's a guy in his dressing gown, you know, with his mug of coffee, and he's just watching it all happen. Maybe he's got a nutsack out. We don't know yet.
Okay. Right. So we've got a lot to dissect. So first of all, First of all,
that, please make this, Lewis. Please make this.
Is any of this true?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it could be based on a true story.
But why have you chose this then? So why have you chose, obviously, someone called Neil, but why is this the start of your movie?
I very much like British themes. So, you know, the whole eviction, you know, relating to the can't pay, take it away. We've got, you know, my father, which is, you know, there's like the locations. You've got this like bog standard community church, you've got a pub, you know, a traditional English pub, and then, you know, okay, maybe Damn Good Pie is probably not nowhere close to that, but like I like combining kind of bizarre British themes together, basically. So like, you know, getting normality, which is, you know, collecting scrap metal, and let's put a story in it, let's put a twist, let's give it some excitement, something that's, you know, just looked at as like quite a mundane task, could be, you know, very fun.
I don't know why, but I've got the opening of Train Spotting in my head.
Yeah,
running along. I don't know, but I
feel like, you know, scrap metal vans, they have like this siren as well, don't they, when they're like calling for metal. We could have that as like a war cry or something. I don't know.
scrap metal.
Yeah.
It's something really weird, isn't it? Anyway, we could use that as like, you know, it's the Romanians. Maybe
we
I don't.
To, we have to ask who's playing the Nimmo brothers.
The Nimmo brothers? Nimmo?
The Nimmo,
that's a good question, actually. Yeah,
Nimmo. The Nimmo brothers. It's like they're in a Pixar film. These are the Nimmo brothers. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like they have to be real kind of ditzy, you know, salt of the earth kind of, like, you know, I'd probably say like Mackenzie Crook from I think he'd be a good one. Yeah. And I mean, I'm just taking two characters from Sex Lives of the Potato Man here. Yeah. Let's go with Mackenzie Crook and Johnny Vegas. I mean, I think that'd be a great duo.
And I'd pay him money alone to see Johnny Vegas attempt a Romanian accent.
So like, you know, just those two, they're the brothers, and then yeah, we'll throw a few more characters in me. I don't know who's playing the Romanians, but the Nimmo brothers are characters in themselves.
Yeah.
but you know, Neil's a one-man band, you know, he's trying to be the metal man.
Yeah, he just wants to be the metal man. He wants to be there like his dad.
Do you know what? I think this is a good point to bring this. If when you listen to the podcast, usually the actor or the person we would get on would go, so I would start here in my life when I was given this part of my play.
We're not
being mean to them, because we love everyone that we've had on, but this is by far the most brilliant thing that has ever come to this podcast. I mean, 2 weeks ago when we had Georgie, and it was when she was on the floor saying, "My name is a sentence Georgie made Taylor." This tops this by a lot. There's so much to dissect. So what is, obviously this film is about your life, Lewis. What is that representing? Or is it?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I guess because my dad is such, you know, a typical workman. And again, you know, I keep saying salt of the earth, but, you know, not that I'm trying to live up to his, he doesn't have any kind of reputation. All right?
But be the metal man.
No, I was trying to be the metal man. Well, my dad sells kitchens and bathrooms, actually. So maybe we could come up with a better pun for that.
Bath boy.
Bath boy.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't actually think, like, you know, there's anything to majorly relate to in it, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's an entertaining story in a nutshell.
So let's carry on with this story. So what the next question, I just want to hear where this goes. I'm not sure.
Well, the next question is, what's the plot twist? But
I'll be honest, I don't know where this story's going.
just honestly, just let's go for it. Tell us what happens next, Lewis.
Tell you what happens next. You know, you're more than welcome to fill in some traps if you want.
So, obviously, we ask you, what is the plot twist of the movie? What have you got written down here?
Well, actually, for the plot twist, I didn't actually. It was more of an ending, more of a twist at the ending, I guess. At the end, I guess, which was Neil comes back home tired, down and out. You know, he's put all his cards on the table. He's had it off the Romanians, the Nimmo brothers. You know, and he's failed to find, you know, the missing fridge. And I just had I had his mom shouting downstairs because, yeah, Neil still lives with his mom. Yeah. Actually, it'd be good to have like a sort of a metal shrine somewhere, maybe in the back garden of junk for the metal man. Anyway, that's just a side note. Anyway, his mom shouts down, "Did you see the new fridge? Gary picked it up from the yard yesterday." And then Neil, obviously, you know, looking all shocked. Then we get a shot from inside the fridge, looking at Neil, opens it up and boom, there's the cash. So, see, but you know,
I picture the metal man, the dad. It's like he lives with a single mum because the metal man, I don't know, died because a fridge landed on his head, and they've got a shrine of him, like a big picture.
Yeah,
like he's some sort of like, not like dictator, but that sort of picture that you get, and he's there stood next to like all of his metal, everything around him.
I almost feel like he should have metal tattooed on his knuckles.
It says man because he's only got three fingers on the other hand.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is very, he lost three fingers.
I imagine the metal man. I'm not sure if any of you, both of you, been to Alton Towers, and you know the Wicker Man, you know, like that big like head statue on the top of the Wicker
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I imagine like a metal one of them as his head. And it's massive, and it's just like there, and that's metal man. That's how I imagined it.
Yeah, it could have been some sort of Saxon helmet or something. That's a bit too far. That's a bit too far-fetched, isn't it?
I'm going graphic. When we're saying adding to the story, like the plot twist, like the dad's gone, what's happened? The Nimmo brothers have taken him. They've taken him home.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's
and
good.
That's it.
That's good. Yeah.
All of that. There's something in that. The Nimmo brothers, but it actually turns out they're doing it for the right. Because I think the Nimmo brothers, they're good at heart, but at the end of the day, they're competing for metal, aren't they? So... it's kind of
that's
like
good. That's good. And maybe when he rescues his dad back from the Nimmo brothers, they both go to get into the driver's seat, but then they give each other like an exchange of like, you know, his dad gives him the approval and he allows Neil to drive. Yeah, thus earning his dad's respect finally.
Lewis, just make this film already. Honestly. Me and Denver could be the Nemo brothers right here.
We'd love to be the Nemos. But I'm not going to try an accent because we will get cut off at that stage.
Before we move on to the final questions, talking about, you know, the music and stuff like that, because I feel like that's going to be fascinating. I think we should talk about your career that you've done so far.
But, we'll actually talk about you a bit.
Because I feel like we've got you here and you've done some absolutely like I was going to say off the rails. I was trying to think of a scrap metal pun, but I just couldn't. But I think and that question is supposed to represent, like, you know, what was the moment in your life when you thought, oh, I'm going to be a film director. I'm going to be making films. What was that moment for you when you were like, I want to make films for the rest of my life?
Luckily, I actually have a very entertaining story behind that, which I'm sure
here
you
we will. Go.
So before I, you know, ended up working at Cineworld with you, Ricky, I worked on a bar in a hotel. I wasn't happy. And I was using Snapchat frequently. Snapchat was popping at the time.
See best friends and everything.
yeah, that was it, yeah. Jesus, remember that? That feels like ages ago.
Yeah, it does.
My username was Honeybum. I have no idea why I picked it, but you can't change your username on Snapchat. So I was like, okay, I'll live with it. Ended up getting about 100 friend requests a day from perverted men. Like, no joke. Like, every day it would be like, you know, however many men.
Yeah.
And because I was in other people's top friends, they thought, like, my friends were talking to a girl. So then they'd add me and try and chirps me. I'm just like... But anyway, so I accepted a few of them just for jokes, just to see who they were and stuff like that. And one of them was some Australian guy. Anyway, some of his videos that he was posting on Snapchat were quite funny. I was cracking up. We, you know, got talking and stuff, and then ended up having some weird Snapchat friendship over the next however many months. Anyway, out of the blue, he was like, oh, you should come over to Australia, mate. I was like, do you know what? I hate my life here. I think I'm going to do that. So,
befriended a pervert and then went and met the pervert
on Snapchat. Yeah. So then for the next like 4 or 5 months, I saved every penny I could. I've never met this guy before. I'd never even spoke to him on the phone, but he said that he had a spare room. You know, he lives not far from Sydney, the capital. I was like, okay, buzzing. If it goes pear shaped, I'll just dip off somewhere. Yeah. So I kept saving up, and then jumped on a one-way flight to Australia. Yeah, my parents saw me off. It was a sad moment.
What's it didn't his actually. Name? Did he have a good name?
I think it was just like Will or something, like Wilbur or something. It was something basic, nothing perverted. Yeah. Don't get your hopes up.
I was hoping.
Wasn't like Red Fox or anything like that. So anyway, it didn't actually sink in until I actually got to the airport and thought, where the hell am I? Who am I meeting here? So he turns up in a vest, completely covered in tattoos. And I was like, okay. And then he made me pay for the parking. And that was a red flag immediately. I was like, do you want to get the parking, mate? I was like, yeah, sound okay. Yeah. And then we pulled out the airport and everything. His girlfriend was in the car. He seemed okay. I knew it was going to be a little bit weird. And then we immediately pulled over to a petrol station, in which case he made me fill the tank up. So it's getting weirder. It's getting a bit more red flags. But I was like, okay, do you know what? The guy's probably drove far. I'll fill this tank up for him. So then we drive through Sydney. It's beautiful. The sun's shining. And then we carry on through Sydney. And then we're no longer in Sydney. And I'm kind of like, I thought you lived in Sydney. He was like, oh, it's just a little bit further out. And I was like, all right, sound. Yeah, okay, cool. So we kept going probably for another hour and a half and came to a place called Wollongong, which is like a few hours out from Sydney, and there was nothing there. There was no beaches, there was no sand, there was nothing. Anyway, I am rambling seriously here. This is a full blown story.
I am gripped where this is going.
I need to know.
So we get to his house. It's actually a really nice house. Neighborhood's nice. People around are friendly and stuff like that. We go in, and he immediately wants me to hold his snake, his giant snake that's in there.
Actual
snake. Yeah. Big snake. Yeah. I was like, okay, never held a snake. Not sure about this. But you know what? We're in Australia. Let's go. So then he puts the snake on me. I'm very uncomfortable. It's wrapping itself, gripping around my arms. I'm freaking out now. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, trying to laugh it off. Because I feel like the more I panic, the more this guy finds it funny. Do you know? So, took the snake back and stuff. And then ended up going for a sleep because I was, you know, jet lagged. Next thing I knew, I was woken up about an hour later by these giant surround sound speakers, which are pinned against my bedroom wall, playing the loudest hip hop music I've ever heard. Obviously, immediately I'm in the horrors right now. Yeah. I've got to walk down. It's like, I'm trying to get your sleeping pattern back on, bro. Like, I didn't want you to. Actually, what if he listens to these? He might hunt me down or something. I didn't think about that. Jesus,
we haven't done this, all right. It could be any of Australia.
I told you we Snapchat user now. Can we get rid of that? I'm putting my hand up now, guys.
That's sensitive.
We've actually got a bit of a following in Australia.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I'm trying to think about where this goes. Now, obviously, I'm jet lagged to hell. Yeah. You know, I'm not in a good place. I think that a couple of days later, he pulls out a gun, like an old school gun. And I was thinking, oh, my God, this just can't get any weirder. And then we went into the back garden. And he just starts like shooting some of his clothes on the clothing line and say, yeah, I'll have a go. And me being me in Australia, I was like, okay, let's have a go. And then I just thought I wanted to shoot the gun. But as I shot it as well, I kind of looked around and there was just cockroaches all over the floor. And I was just like, Lewis, you're in Australia shooting laundry surrounded by cockroaches with a man you've never met. What are you doing? I thought I was in a bad place at Ramada. I was in an even worse place in Australia.
And the question is that we asked at the start. So what made you want to be a filmmaker?
Yeah, sorry, man. Honestly,
that is the best story ever.
I don't know. We can cut it if it's not super interesting.
I just want to know how this made you a filmmaker. This is incredible.
So I couldn't text or call anyone. My phone didn't work out there, which made it even worse because I didn't know anyone. So then he's got work on Monday. So he's gone to work. His girlfriend's gone to work. And I'm just in his house from Monday to Friday. I'm in his house and I can't speak to anyone. I can't talk to anyone. There's nowhere to go. I don't have a car. What do I do? So I just thought. I just sat on a step out the front and just sat with my mind, sat in the sun and just thought about life for, you know, however many days straight. And I was just like, okay, what the hell are you doing here? What are we doing? What's the goal? What's the plan? And honestly, I've never felt like my head's so clear before. It was like I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I thought, okay, what do we enjoy? What do I enjoy and stuff like that? And I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to education. You know, I'm going to study film. And I said, I don't care. If I have to take two steps back to take a leap forward, then I'll do it. But ultimately, and you know, that's what set it off. That's the story behind it. I wouldn't be doing what I was doing now unless I took that trip.
Yeah. I tell you what,
I believe you were surprised that you met up with a guy who thought you were a sexy girl. He had a girlfriend. Added on Snapchat, went and met him in Australia. And then he was weird.
Believe me, I don't get it either. I can't believe it. I must have been in a very weird place, but no one else could quite believe it.
Everything happens for a reason.
Happens for a reason. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I tell you what, generally, just listen to that. Like, even though it is a ridiculous story, an amazing story, don't get me wrong, but that... There's something so, I don't know, poignant, beautiful, whatever the word I'm looking for, of just sitting on a step and just thinking about what you want to do. Like,
literally.
I feel like, I hate to bring us back into the reality of the world that we are now, but like, we are living in a world of like COVID where we are having to sit and think. Like, people are sitting in their bedrooms all day, people are sat in their living rooms watching TV, and I think people have been thinking, and I hope people have the same epiphany you have and go, well, actually, I want to go and do this, because I'm sure it's affected, maybe not as much, but I'm sure it's affected your craft as well, that COVID has stopped us filming, stopped us putting on theatre. Yeah. I really hope the people who do want to go back into film and TV have stopped and think and go, I actually really want to do this and work even harder and go back to education, go to drama school, because I don't know what my point was.
And forget Berkov. It's not him that was your inspiration. It was all these nutters. It was these stories, weren't it? You lived it.
I, I, honestly, yeah. And that's a great question to ask you. So how has COVID affected your craft? Like what has changed? How has filming changed since COVID's come in?
I mean, late last year, to be honest with you, I actually managed to go on quite a few shoots. We kind of just followed, you know, the COVID kind of safety procedures. You know, everyone wore face masks, we social distance and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm quite a natural hermit anyway, to be honest with you. I'm a man of simple pleasures. Going out and experiencing things, you know, that kind of helps to generate ideas sometimes, doesn't it? And gives you a lot of inspiration. So I guess it's affected me in that way. I definitely haven't been on as many projects as I would have liked. You know, there's been knockbacks from actors. A lot of actors that I've really wanted to work with, they've kind of come back and said, you know, I don't feel comfortable at the moment, you know, working in these situations and stuff. And, you know, I could have gone with other actors if I wanted to, but at the end of the day, it's kind of what I wanted. And if it's not what I want, then I'm not going to get it. Yeah. So.
And speaking of actors you want to work with, obviously me being one of them at some point, we will work together, Lewis. So I will send you my spotlight link, my agent. We'll get in touch and do a film at some point. But you have worked with probably a star amongst men, and that is the Wheelston Raider.
Yeah.
And I would be doing everyone who is listening to this podcast an absolute disservice if I didn't ask, what is the man, the myth, like? What is it like to have worked with him?
He is the nicest guy you'll ever meet. Nice as pie. I to be honest, I didn't really know what to expect, you know, because when you actually get to know him, he's a really sweet guy. He kind of told me, you know, most of his money hasn't, you know, monetary gain from his, you know, fame, I guess. He's all gone to charity. He had a song, I think, that it was like number one at Christmas for everyone. Donated it all to charity. So he's very big on that, and he posts on his Facebook and Twitter all the time, always, you know, for charitable organizations and stuff like that. But I mean, he was a trooper as well, because we were filming outside. It was torrential rain, freezing cold. The guy doesn't have that much meat on him, and he was shivering. He was shivering, but no, he was so good to work with. He was a really good laugh. Yeah.
So obviously, as Ricky said, you do commercials as well as your short films, advertising for PG Tips, Super Socks, all of these, and they still have the Lewis Clements type style to them. The PG Tips one with the witch at the ending, and my favourite one, which reminds me of the John Smith advert of old. I think you know which one, the Valentine's Day with the socks, and he's and he's searching through them. My question is, from that, are people coming to you, seeing your work, wanting that style, or do you work with them and suggest the style?
No, it's much more of me suggesting the style, to be honest with you.
How does that work? Do you have to, like, the same way actors have to, do directors have to audition to these sort of companies with their ideas and things like that? How does that work?
It's kind of I just kind of write the treatment and pitch it, to be honest with you. And I guess one of my qualities that I think I'm pretty good at is pitching. I kind of bring a lot of energy to it, and it's a lot different. If you've got someone kind of just reading, quite playing off a piece of paper, it's a lot different than that to actually pitching the scene and putting some character, playing the characters yourself as you're pitching it. So I think that plays a big part, to be honest with you.
And did you have to kind of train yourself within marketing and things like that? Still very much in a drama's perspective.
See, it's an interesting one, because, you know, when in university and stuff like that, we're kind of taught that, you know, everyone speaks about everyone wants to be in film, and commercials are kind of, you know, the devil. And, you know, if you work with, you know, we've all heard stories about skincare adverts, and they're all fake and all this and all that. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm not going to sell my soul to making commercials or anything like that. And I guess kind of after doing a few, and you do get, you know, creative freedom, it's actually really fun. It's actually really fun to you know, show a product, but in a really fun way. If you get what I mean.
And do you get these products? Sorry, do you get PG tips provided, and do you get paid in the Super Socks and the Snugsies?
Yeah, I've got plenty of Super Socks and Snugsies.
Everyone's got them for Christmas. Yeah. Like, Lewis, I don't need any more socks.
literally, yeah. I can't give anyone any socks or anything. They just know.
And I think before we move on to finishing this film with the title, about, because we've completely gone off Scrapman, Neil and all of this, speaking about the most interesting things here. But I think we should talk about your most recent short film, Damn Good Pie. Now, we have spoke about it briefly, but I think it is best to come from you. So could you explain to us what Damn Good Pie is about?
Because I've watched it a few times, still.
I'm confused. Can you just give us an explanation? Because honestly, I'm going to say this to the audience, if you're listening, we do have a newfound Australian audience who have somehow found us. If you are listening, go watch Damn Good Pie. And Lewis, please tell us, what is Damn Good Pie about?
We essentially kind of join a family who are the Crusts at their evening meal, their evening dinner. So it's just another ordinary day in a pie-centric world.
Yeah.
And we've got Peter, Isabel, and Edward. If you get, all their initials are pie as well. I don't know if anyone got that. I guarantee not a soul got that, but I just did it for myself. Hello, Peter. Well, I made sure their names were always mentioned, just so maybe someone could put it together. We follow their evening meal, and essentially they start, you know, eating their pies, which, you know, are quite sacred in this pie-centric world. But their son Peter, Edward, sorry, starts patting his pie, something that is very much frowned upon.
You do not
in this pie-centric world. So just don't pat your pie.
No.
Don't pat your pie. So, you know, I don't want to give anything else away, but...
Yeah, you don't spoil it, but all we'll say is do not pat your pie.
I'm saying is go watch it and then tell us, in the comments, whatever it is, tell us what you think it's about, because it's unbelievable.
But I think, how's that happen? What happens there? Do you just sit in bed one day and you go, do you know what? Let's create, as you've said in your own words, a pie-centric kind of world. What happens? And you get budgeted for it? How's this come about?
We shot that in one day, actually. It was a very long day. And it was quite, it was actually the cast. I couldn't have had a better cast. I had to give them very little direction. They were perfect, absolutely perfect. But the idea itself, I was working as a videographer in central Birmingham. And it was for a really corporate company. I'm talking like Grey Sludge kind of company.
Yeah.
And I was going home every day and I was so depressed. And I was just like, oh, just keep going, Lewis, keep going. There's light at the end and stuff like that. So I've come home one day and there's pie on the table. So I've sat down to eat my pie. And because I'm so fed up, I don't have an appetite and stuff, just started patting my pie.
Oh, don't tell me.
I patted it and then I kind of just started having a conversation with myself saying, like, stop patting your pie, Lewis. And then I literally pulled my phone out and writ literally probably about, I don't know, like 2 pages worth of script of just this conversation about someone telling someone to stop patting their pie.
I think it's worth a mention here. I'm just going to list off some of the things it's been nominated for. So it was official nominee of the Birmingham Film Festival in 2020. It was in Dead Northern. It was Lit Off Global Network New York 2020 official selection. Finalist of Out of the Can International Film Festival. Highly commended the Black Country Horror Shorts Film Festival 2020. Official selection Texas Terror Film Festival. And the list goes on. Mate, honestly... how does it feel to get nominated for those short film awards? What is it? How is the call? Is it like, oh, you've been nominated? Is it like a letter in the post? Is it a golden letter that arrives?
I did get a letter the other day, actually, from that Texas Terror Festival, which was quite nice. It was like a laminated certificate and stuff. But no, usually, to be honest with you, it's just a notification on my phone that says you've been selected. but I was quite disappointed with the Birmingham Film Festival because It was supposed to be screened, and the day it was supposed to be screened, we kind of went into lockdown or something like that. So I kind of literally, and they show it at the Millennium Point, which is like a giant IMAX screen. And I wanted to see that close up of the pie going into his mouth on that screen. I was so excited for it. And obviously there's no better feeling than sitting in an audience and everyone else taking in your film. Like that's kind of the pinnacle for me.
Right. So let's go back to the movie. Metal Man we've got the ending. Metal Man, thankfully, his mum picked up a fridge and the money was there. Happy days. So it's a nice little ending. Obviously, a speciality in short films. That was a nice little short film there. But how does your journey end? Or where are you now? What's next for Lewis Clements?
So I've just taken a new job, which is essentially a producer-director role. For a sort of a video publishing agency in Birmingham, in which case I've got a sort of a team of people below me, sort of videographers, production assistants. So a lot of the time, work-wise anyway, I've been a videographer, kind of like a one-man band. And, you know, obviously the short films and the commercials and stuff on the side. But now it's time for me to take a step up, which, you know, I am doing. So essentially I'm going to be creating original sketches, commercials and stuff like that for this new company. Nice. Yeah. And that's where the journey continues. But ultimately I think that the pinnacle will be just kind of, you know, waking up every day and creating something that's,
Original,
I guess you'd say. Yeah. Original, yeah.
And explain to Ricky, who won't understand, what's a videographer typically? What would a day-to-day be for that?
I've been asked that actually before, yeah. And someone said, what's a videographer? To be honest with you, it's a lot of duties. You're sort of a video editor, camera operator. I mean, you could probably throw some photography in there. You always get asked. But yeah, that's what you.
How much does it piss you off when someone goes, so you're just like a cameraman then?
not as much as can you take photos as well? And I'm like, I'm the video guy. Oh, it's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's not, is it? And no. I always say the same thing. I say, well, it's like cooking and baking. They're not actually the same, are they?
That's a really good example.
And you have said that you're going to be creating original work and sketches. So I will let you know that I am available.
Ricky, he doesn't want you in it, mate. He doesn't want you in it. Give it up.
I've already thought about you. You'll definitely be getting a call, definitely.
Oh, well, to let you know, Lewis, I am also an actor.
So, Lewis, my number is 07005.
You don't want to do that, Ricky. Don't put your number on the podcast.
but Lewis, we'll speak wages later. Honestly, I will say this after pod as well. If you do have any projects that you need an actor for, please call me because
you need a local Leeds lad. I am the only. Anyway, we've sold ourselves, Ricky. Shall we move on to the next question?
Let us move on to the next question. And of course, we've had this amazing story of Simon Pegg with Mackenzie Crook, Johnny Vegas in The Metal Man. This unbelievable story about a scrap metal man searching for the fridge with money in.
Good old
but
Neil.
Good old Neil. But of course, we need to have a song or a score for this movie. So, Lewis, where is this going? Who's writing the score, or what is the song for you?
So my favorite director, and I'll tell you, if you see Edgar Wright in my work, you'll definitely see a lot of his work, is Jim Hosking, who's made films such as The Greasy Strangler and Evening with Beverly Loughlin. And again, he makes kind of really funny commercials as well. So I take a lot from him. And who scores his films is a composer called Andrew Hung, who is in a band, actually. I'm giving him a good shout out here. He's in a band in London called Fuck Buttons. I don't know if I can swear.
No, you can.
Called Fuck Buttons, which I thought was a good name. I think I sent you over some of his work, Ricky. It's just very different. It's just very different.
So we both sat, when you sent us across, we both sat listening to The Greasy Strangler. We both listened to the An Evening with Beverly Loughlin. And the vibe I got a very like video game, kind of like Pokemon style. I don't know if that is what you were getting from it, but Denver got something completely different.
Well, this is where I got like a Baby Driver type soundtrack. So I did get that with the sort of vibes and stuff. And yeah, the Loughlin one in particular, it was kind of like, yeah, the kind of like electro type music, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as long as it's something that kind of, when you listen to it, it kind of resonates with, well, with me, importantly. And the same with Damn Good Pie, and I've used the same mixer and composer for most of my short films actually now. And he got to a point where I actually sent Damn Good Pie over, gave him very little inspiration. He sent it back and I was like, okay, that's perfect. Just because he's done other short films, you know, it's exactly the kind of thing that I like.
But with that sort of thing, when you said that's when we go, oh, that reminds me of that. Is that what you want? Do you, like your music, do you try and keep it the same so people eventually are like, oh, that's Louis Clemens, that?
No, that's not something that ever pops into my mind.
It's just purely because you like it.
It's purely because I like it and it matches the story and the themes. And yeah, there's never going to be a time, well, I hope not anyway, when I go, okay, this music fits right, but it's not Louis Clements.
Yeah. And honestly, that Loughlin movie, I'm going to have to watch because Aubrey Plaza is one of my favourite actors. I love her.
Oh, really?
In Parks and Rec, she's unbelievable. Yeah. Like Craig Robinson as well.
Craig Robinson actually has a really weird role in it. He doesn't actually speak.
Which is weird because I've never really seen that side of him. You see him typically as Daryl on the US Office, don't you? And he's kind of like grumpy warehouse worker. And then you see the clips of that and you're like, what?
It was really weird, yeah.
What was the film title again, Denver?
The Loughlin one.
An evening with Beverly Loughlin.
Beverly Loughlin.
I have one question to ask about music. So in The Eviction, you worked with JK on writing songs for Eviction. What was that like? Did he write the song? Did you choose his songs, or did he write the song for the film?
No, because I when I was kind of making the film, I always had in mind, okay, this is all shot in Birmingham. I wanted to use Birmingham based actors. The crew was from Birmingham. Everything was, you know, resonating from Birmingham basically. So I thought, you know, it would be absolutely perfect to use his music. So, and I think I listened to one of his songs as well. I mean, obviously it mentions Eviction by chance. That was by chance. But I just got in touch with his manager and just said, listen, I'm not going to be making any money from it. I just want to put it into festivals and stuff like that. And he just said, yeah, it was just like that. That was the email. I had that as proof that I could use his songs in it. And it was just as easy as that.
And that's what, to be fair, like as someone who is a Silhillian, but a proud Brummie myself, like I love
what do you call that, yourself?
A Silhillian, because I'm from Solihull. Because I can't really say
is
I'm
that
a Brummie.
A thing? A Silhillian?
Yeah, it is a thing. Like, because I know if I call myself a Brummie in front of Lewis, I feel like he might take a little bit of offence because I am from Solihull. And it's a bit, not really a divide, but, you know, people from Solihull wouldn't really call. But I do love the fact that you are using people from Birmingham. You're getting a crew from Birmingham. You're getting music from Birmingham. And I think that is something that I hope more people from Birmingham start to do, because I think Birmingham is a place with a lot of, you know, culture and a lot of things that doesn't really get seen. And like, we see the Peaky Blinders coming up now, but none of that's filmed in Birmingham. None of them are Birmingham actors. And it kind of takes away from the fact.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And of course, Lewis, we've asked the song, we've had all of this, but it is of course time to ask the final question. So Denver, please take it away.
All right. I think I've got an idea what it's going to be, but knowing yourself, I'm probably completely wrong. What is the title of this movie?
Okay, so I've got three titles written down.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know which one to go with. So let's let either yourself, Denver, or Ricky decide. Yeah,
we've got this.
What the title is. Okay, so I'm not going to pick it. I think you guys can pick it. Right, so we've got The Metal Man.
That's why I had in my head. That's why.
The Metal Man. We've got Scrappers. Ooh. Or we've got Junk Men.
I think Junk Men is the weakest.
Junk Men or Junk Man?
I don't know about you, Ricky. I like Scrappers.
Yeah.
Because I might be completely wrong in saying this. I normally make myself look stupid. A double entendre. I think that's right. Yeah. Meaning, okay. It's kind of like, because he scraps, doesn't he, with the Nimmo brothers. He's kind of, there's that scrapping thing, but it's scrap metal as well.
And they're actually scrapping for the missing bag of money.
It's all there.
What about if we combine it together and call it Scraps for Metal Man?
That's too long. Too long. Scrappers.
Let's go Scrappers. Scrappers.
And was I right with saying double entendre? Was that used right?
I don't know. Definitely asking the wrong person.
Isn't double entendre about like with sexual meaning, not just like any other meaning? I don't know. Don't hold me to that. We'll get someone. We'll get Susie Dent to tell us.
Susie, you're on live.
You're live on the You Name It podcast. We need an answer, but
all of his lifelines. He's now.
I tell you what, mate. Honestly, we have one hell of a film there. Scrappers, directed by Liz Clements.
Right, just for the people listening, this is for the first time we're doing this podcast at night, and Ricky has decided to get pissed. Clearly, we're at the end now. We're about an hour in, and Ricky's had a few beers and can't say Lewis Clements. He can't say the name of our guest.
Right. So let me finish
plus wine.
Yeah.
So we have Scrappers directed by Lewis Clements with Simon Pegg, Johnny Vegas, Mackenzie Crookett. Lewis, please just go and make this film.
That sounds amazing. I'd watch that. I'd definitely watch it.
directed by you as well, from the work we've seen, this would be incredible. And, you know, if you need two extras, you've got our numbers, you've got everything like that. So
Ricky. We've got Neil. We've got Nimmo's.
Hey,
we can do it.
And honestly, mate, I can't thank you enough for coming on and telling us that beautiful story. And honestly, I wish you the best of luck with everything that comes up in the future with you. And
Good luck in your new job.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And you know what? I think we should maybe say in a year's time, if this podcast is still going well, I'd love to hear another story from you, Lewis.
This is it. Honestly, just keep doing what you're doing. It's such refreshing kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's a refreshing piece of work. What looking at your pieces, it's not taken too seriously. But I think, like you said, it depends on your state of mind of where you are. But you take stuff from your work. You can take and interpret things in different ways. It's brilliant. Keep up the good work, because it's unbelievable and it's made me laugh. We've not even spoke about your Instagram, where you get old men to dance in the boxes. All of that.
There is so much more to talk about. So
it's the one with the cereal and you're pouring milk down your face. Honestly, check out Lewis's Instagram, which we will
check out his website. On his website, all the short films and adverts are there as well. And we've had a pleasure just looking at it when we've been preparing for this. But honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure, Lewis. And we will see the audience. I don't know why I'm calling the audience. Denver, do you want to end this? Because I feel like I'm a little bit... I feel like maybe this is the time.
To stop. Lewis, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for working with Ricky at Cineworld. And it's been
Sausage Gate. The people from Cineworld will know about that. Sausage Gate. Let's end on that.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anyway, guys, it's been a blast. And now I know what my next short film will be.
Well, there we go. And we will see the next film out in the next year.
Scrappers
coming to a theatre near. If you do like that, do we need to do a promo at the end? I don't know if we do.
Yeah, let's just do it. If you want to check us out on Instagram, it's...
I didn't know you were going to let me do it. Our Instagram is younameit.pod. You can look at our YouTube, which is younameitpod. Email.
We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Music.
Apple.
And if you want to check out Lewis Clements, we will put all of his links in the description below. We'll put it on an Instagram post. I think it is always good to end on some wise wisdom. So, Denver, you got any words of wisdom this week? You had none last week.
Don't be afraid to jump for the stars.
Right, I'm not being funny. You've just leant into the mic and just gone, "Don't be afraid to jump for the stars." Honestly, that was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. But yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Bye.
We'll see you for next week.